Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportist.
And welcome to another episode of the St. Louis Sportist podcast. My name is Ron Cook, and I am joined by Keith Farrell.
Cheers.
Tom Mathis.
Good evening, everyone.
And we are delighted to be joined for the first time by Mr. Jason Sellers. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Great to be here with you guys.
Outstanding. And Jason is one of our sponsors with First Coast Steel Buildings. And we will hear more from them later in the show. First Coast Steel Buildings, the website is 1stcoaststeelbuildings.com. And we are coming to you from the Local House Bistro Studios. The Local House Bistro is your headquarters for one of the busiest times on the sports calendar. Coming up this weekend, we have Blues hockey, NBA action, and NFL football playoffs all weekend long. Four games, two Saturday and two on Sunday. And the NCAA championship game, two heavyweights, Notre Dame and Ohio State on Monday night. And with the seven TVs in the bar area, you will not miss a second of any of these games. Tim and his crew have you covered at the Local House Bistro, where Holly, Jackie, Jacinda, and the gang will take great care of you. Daily specials, they have drink specials as well for dry January even. They have everything up there. So join us. We're there all the time. Keith, we're there all the time.
As we are there all the time.
It's the Local House Bistro. It is located in Wildwood at 16524 Manchester Road. Eat local, drink local, love local, the Local House Bistro. Keith, what do you have for a quick hit for us?
Well, maybe the first time and last time we talk about the WNBA. But I'm going to talk about Caitlin Clark and this thug that flew up from Denton, Texas to Indianapolis to harass this young lady who actually changed the game of basketball in the women's world. What got me thinking about this was security does not get enough credit for what they do. Especially in women's basketball. You know, I think these guys in basketball, you hear these threats, you hear these professional athletes getting threats all the time. They can handle themselves. But when you have a guy threatening women, I mean, you talk about a sicko, and, you know, sending messages on platforms is one thing, but physically showing up and sending these messages, I'm going to sit behind the bench. I'm thinking of you, Caitlin. I mean, how does the WNBA thwart those attacks? I don't know, but my hat is off to the officials who dug in and took this seriously, because you can't help but think about the Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding episode and the Monica Seles episode. So kudos to security and everyone involved for taking care of that thug.
Tom Mathis.
I'm going to go back to our beginning of the year predictions, and I said that the Blues would make the playoffs, but now they're on this roller coaster ride where they play great one game and then the next game they lay an egg, and I just don't know if they have it in them or not. And Keith's prediction where they don't make the playoffs and start trading off some other guys might be the best thing for them to do right now.
Yeah, they could certainly clear a little bit of space in the cap if they would move, a defenseman or two, maybe.
Defenseman or two, maybe Saad, and get the Dvorsky up here, get some of the young blood. And one of the guys from Sweden, I think it was, that I saw where they brought him to the OHL league. So you know, just seeing some of these new guys coming up, it might be better if they don't make the playoffs this year.
You know, we didn't revisit this on the podcast, but I think now is the time. Immediately, the episode of where Keith said, trade Brandon Saad, trade him. The game immediately after that, he had a hat trick.
Next day. Yeah. Yep.
And then Keith responds with his value will never be higher. So,
yeah, because he may not have had a point since then.
That's true. I'm not sure he does have a point since then.
Well, I know he got demoted because he was playing on that top line and Neighbors had taken a spot.
And I don't know that they're going to get Jake out of that. Jake looks like a guy that could be there for the next, several years.
I watched that. I was at the Anaheim game last week and watching Jake, I mean, he just brings an energy to this team that they're really lacking. I mean, he's around the puck, but he's hitting somebody. He's doing things that there's not a lot of players on this roster doing.
Well, and the comp that we heard last year with some people was, and this is extremely high praise, and it's very early in his career, but there are similarities to Brian Sutter. Right. Simply, he gets those dirty goals. He'll get in a fight. He'll score. He'll do whatever it takes. There's just a lot of Brian Sutter similarities.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll have some Gordie Howe hat tricks in his career. So,
most definitely, most definitely, Jason.
Well, I will introduce myself real quick, and as a college football fan and a diehard Texas fan, as well as the Chiefs, and we'll talk probably about both of those. But I'm going to lead off with the millions of dollars down the drain with bonehead coaching calls and national semifinal games. Unbelievable. It's like, guys, I'm watching the Seahawks lose the Super Bowl to Tom Brady all over again. I mean, let's get on the 1 yard line, Texas, and lose 7 and then call another pass play and lose the ball. And, you know, and then, you know, let's call a prevent defense. That worked well at the end of the half with 17 seconds left. And then, you know, Penn State, I mean, why are we throwing the ball with 17 seconds left? And and why isn't that call simply, if it's not there, hold on to it. Game, you know, we'll go to overtime, throw it out of bounds, whatever. Just bonehead calls. And both of these coaches, and trust me, I love Sark, but both of these coaches are making almost $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You know, and on that Texas play on the goal line, the football field's, what, 53 and a half yards wide. It seemed like he ran laterally 53 and a half yards before he turned it upfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was just hard to believe. Well, I tell you what, that's actually our first segment is the college football playoffs. And Tom, what did you think of those games this past weekend? What stood out to you? In addition to what Jason pointed out, which was coaches being overpaid.
I definitely agree with him on that. My point is that I think Ohio State was just above and beyond what the other three teams in the semifinals were. No slight to Texas. I think they're a very good team. Notre Dame and Penn State, I think they're a level below them. But, you know, somehow, I mean, I know how a tournament is supposed to work, where you knock out teams on the way up. But, you know, the better teams got knocked out other than Ohio State. And I'm really worried that next week's championship game is going to be pretty dull and not a very entertaining game.
Jason, hopefully not TCU dull, right?
right. Well, but again, you know, I cannot disagree with Tom, as painful as it is as a Texas fan. But the other thing is, this is the same Ohio State team that couldn't score what, 10 at home against Michigan. I mean, I know a few weeks in the playoffs changed that, but I mean, you know, and that's a one blip game. And, you know, you can look at Notre Dame and you can say their one blip game was against, you know, some directional Illinois school, you know, early on in the year. And I mean, I get it. I agree with Tom. I don't think it's going to be much of a game. I really don't. I think Ohio State can win and probably win big, but Notre Dame has surprised me. Cause like I said, when they lost to directional Illinois to start the season, or what, second week, I was like, oh yeah, they're done. So,
and Notre
Dame, that's why we have the playoffs.
Yeah, Notre Dame has a ton of injuries across that offensive line too, and that worries me. I mean, did be bad enough going up against Ohio State healthy, but you know, they've got one guy out and a couple other guys injured, so it's going to be rough for them.
I kind of, here's my ultimate goal on a personal level, okay? I want Ohio State to win, and here's why. Because the first game at the end of August next year is Texas at Ohio State in the Horseshoe. My son and I are going to go. So I might as well watch us with Arch Manning beat the national championships at their home in August. So there we go.
That's solid motivation. Definitely solid motivation. Keith, are the two best teams playing for the championship?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the, like Jason just said, that's the reason we have a playoff. A couple of notes that I had written down here. Ohio State handled Tennessee and Oregon, and they beat Texas, you know, pretty easily. You know, if you look at the sum of those games, I mean, it was really, you know, Ohio State had each of those games handled pretty easily. Notre Dame, the first two wins with, you know, convincing wins over Indiana and Georgia, and a great win over Penn State. They definitely earned it. Going into this championship game, let's face it, Notre Dame has to play flawless. They cannot give Ohio State extra possessions. Their kicker needs to keep on repping his role as Mr. January and kick. They need every point that they can get. I think the two best teams are in there right now. They certainly earned it and deserved it. I'm really looking forward to the game. The point spread opened up at 9.5 for Ohio State. It's since went down to 8.5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So all this hoopla and all this love toward Notre Dame has only made that spread go down 1 point.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from one of the talking heads that said we're not necessarily getting the true best team in college football. We're getting the best team during the playoffs, which I thought to myself, well, gee, isn't that basically every sport except the European Premier League? Which of course has no playoffs. It's just at the end of the season they say, "Oh, you have the most points, best, you know, congratulations, you're the champion."
Yeah.
It's so,
one thing I'll say is I'll go piggyback on Jason's remark about the Michigan game for Ohio State, and I'll give credit to Ryan Day and Chip Kelly because they learned from that game. You know, they tried to run the ball at Michigan. And they couldn't do it. And they've aired it out a little bit more in these last few games. And it's been a different team. I'm not sure that they would, you know, if they had won that game and had gone through that, maybe they'd still try to be run over other teams. But that game's turned out to be pretty important for them.
Yeah, and that's important because we can all think of times that college coaches did not learn or stubbornly tried to continue doing something, trying to force the ball down the field or something like that. So,
right.
Now, Ron, I'll ask Keith if it's the two best teams. I mean, I'll play devil's advocate for just a moment if I can. And I'll say, well, okay, but Notre Dame played Indiana, who I think we can all agree – probably was not deserving, probably should not have been in the top 12. I can back that up pretty easily, and I think most pundits have done that. Then you've got to look at they played a different Georgia team without Carson Beck. And then you've got to look at they played, what, the third best team, maybe the fourth best team, depending on where you go with Indiana of the Big Ten. So – you know, maybe they haven't been tested. Maybe they'll be fine. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know. But they've survived, and that's what you have to do. You have to win and survive. And, you know, we've had it where it's 2. We've had it where it's 4. And now we have it where it's 12. And I don't want to see it go anymore. I think 12 has been a good number. It was nice to see games on campus. And I think we're going to get the best team at the end of the year. And so I do agree with Keith on that.
You know, the first round average margin of victory was 19 points. And it just was not good games to watch. I made the analogy in my notes here. It was like taking a gal out on the first date and she left before dinner. But you had this high anticipation and she just ditches you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the bad taste that was left in my mouth after that first round. And in the quarterfinal games, you had one game. You had the 2 overtime game with Arizona State and Texas. Yeah. And boy, I mean, that was a great game. Other than that, you know, average margin of victory, 14.5 points. So same thing. You may have gotten dessert on that first date, but there was no second date.
Well, does that mean pick the 4 teams?
Playoffs never go down, Tom. They only go up.
It won't go back, but I mean that's pretty much what we've come down to is 2 good games.
Well, was it rust or was it rest too? Because all the teams that had that extra weeks of rest,
right,
lost.
Yeah. Well, speaking of rust versus rest, the Kansas City Chiefs are getting ready to find out if they are going to experience rust or rest this Saturday as they take on the Houston Texans, playing in their customary Saturday first slot, something that they can't seem to escape. I don't know what it's going to take for those poor Texans to get out of that first slot there. So this is, I read today that the time between Patrick Mahomes starting the last game of the regular season and starting this playoff game will be the longest time between a quarterback starting a regular season game and a playoff game. Jason, any cause for concern on that?
Not at all. He'll be fine. Game time's going to be at 3:30. The high that day is forecasted for 26. It's going to be a feels like 16. So you got to figure it's going to go to a low of 7. So as we run into the third and fourth quarter, you're going to be looking close to a 0 wind chill. And you're going to be looking at a home crowd that's going to be pumped up and amped up and as loud as any place in any college football stadium. And, you know, the other thing I think that's important to think about with that game is, you know, Toto and Murray are going to get their tackles. They had 20 in the last matchup. But the big one that's going to be gone is Tank Bell. Tank Dell. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, and it was a gruesome injury, and I hate it for that 25-year-old kid, you know, he had a 12-yard punt average return in that. He had 6 receptions, 98 yards, a long of 30, and a touchdown, and he is not there as a weapon for CJ. So that's going to dramatically change the game. You know, even, you know, Tommy Townsend's coming back, but even his punt, you know, he's no longer the punter for the Chiefs because he didn't average 52.5 yards like he did against the Chiefs. So, I mean, you know, you got to put that in perspective. And the other thing I think for the Chiefs is Travis is well rested, and that's only going to help him. And it's big time. It's a Brady Gronk thing in my mind, having watched Brady Gronk. I mean, it's Travis will come up big. I mean, he had 5 receptions that last game against the Texans. But the other one is that was the breakout game, if you think from a Chiefs perspective, for Xavier Worthy. And, you know, he had 7 receptions and a touchdown. And I think that's where he kind of became, hey, I can do this. I can step up and be the number one. And, you know, I think you've just got enough weapons there. And Patrick Mahomes knows how to win. I mean, look, we all doubted him last year. Oh, we can't go on the road now and win. You know, that you can't go on the road and win. And, you know, as I say, from a Chiefs perspective, wouldn't you rather be 4, you know, you'd rather be 14-2 all day long than 2-14. And, you know, I've seen it all. Oh, they're the most disrespected. They're the worst, you know. Well, Minnesota was the first was the first team with 14 wins to ever lose in a wild card. And they didn't look good.
No.
So no, there you go.
Well, I agree with you. I agree. I think Kansas City is going, you know, they're favored by 8. I think they're going to win by more than 8, by more than that touchdown and a half. Houston didn't look great at all. You know, they still had 3 turnovers in that game. And, you know, if there's any rust on Kansas City's offense, defense, they'll shake it off in the first couple drives. No doubt in my mind that this game's not going to be close at all.
So, yeah, and they will take on the winner of what looks like, at least in my mind, could be the game of the week when the Bills take on the Ravens. That's shaping up to be quite the matchup there, getting the coveted Sunday night slot. How do you guys see that one shaking out?
Well, I agree. That is the marquee matchup. I think this is going to boil down to a Bills pass game versus Ravens run game. I think the Ravens win. I think when you put the put that offense on, both offenses on a cold field, I think a punishing run offense will always win out. That second, the way Derrick Henry has played, what did he have last week? He had 26 carries for 186 yards. I mean, come on. I mean, he is going to, it doesn't matter who's on the other side of that ball, on the other side of that line. He's going to punish it. And that's going to be the difference in the game, in my view.
I have to say, I agree with Keith. The only problem I have in saying he's 100% right is, you know, having played fantasy football this year, I remember the week that Josh Allen had, what, 5 or 6 touchdowns and scored more points than you'd ever, you know. So does he do that again? I don't think he does, and Lamar is just a freak athlete. I agree with the Derrick Henry. And, you know, even though his season is off by his standards, I mean, I still think when you're talking about somebody such as Justin Tucker, he can win a clutch game for you. I mean – And I think that's important, especially more in the NFL than what you see in the college game or anything else. But, you know, when you've got Harrison Butker who can kick it and, you know, if you need it with 7 seconds left and you've got Justin Tucker and, you know, I think that's, that's a pretty good combination there for the Ravens.
Yeah. By the way, I remember that well because Allen got those fantasy points against me that week. So
there you go.
I remember
it. Sorry, Ron. I didn't mean to add salt to that wound. So
yeah, that's okay. The season turned out pretty well for me. I will. I did notice, by the way, that the over under for that Redskin Lion. I'm sorry, Redskin. Pardon me.
Oh.
Once again, Mr. Connery, no ethnic slurs. The over-under for the Washington, that's what I'm going to get around it. The Washington-Detroit game is 55.5. So wouldn't surprise me if that goes up.
Yeah. Oh, that's the bet of the week. I mean, Detroit's favored to win by 9.5 points. I do think the slumber party's over for Jaden Daniels. Listen, he's been incredible this entire season, and I love his style of play. He gets himself out of trouble. He's accurate. What a great game he had for his debut as a rookie in the playoffs. But he's going up against a Lions team that is just hitting on all cylinders. I think it's going to be easily, you're going to see a lot of touchdown score in that game. I think, you know, from a betting standpoint, I think you might see 60, 65 points in that game.
We are going to take a break, and we are going to hear from Jason's group, First Coast Steel Buildings.
Are you in the market for a barn dominium, house, garage, man cave, carport, or hobby shop? Wondering how to get started or where to go? Whatever you are looking to design, look no further than First Coast Steel Buildings. Give Jason and his team a call at 912-314-4848. They will guide you through the process designing your building to fit your specific needs and budget. Call them today at 912-314-4848 or get inspirational ideas and start designing your own by visiting them at firstcoaststeel.com. Again, that's the number 1st coaststeel.com. Their low-cost buildings are fully galvanized steel, providing you with worry-free, low-maintenance requirements. Integrity, quality, and a family-first approach. First Coast Steel Buildings, 912-314-4848 or firstcoaststeel.com. Discount for military and first responders.
And we're back on the STL Sportist podcast. It's January, and I know there's a lot of people, Tom Mathis, that say they don't start to pay attention to college basketball until the first of the year. Well, we're past that. We're into conference play now.
We are. We're into the fun part of the year. You know, like you said, before the holidays, it's kind of non-conference and just who knows where they get some of these opponents, but now you're in conference and you got some tough battles a couple times a week. So looking at Missouri tonight, they got Florida. That should be an interesting battle. Florida is one of the top teams in the country. They beat Tennessee the other day, held them to what, 43 points, I think. It was pretty low total. So kind of interesting to see what they do. Mizzou's one big thing that they need to do is win their home games. Then maybe win a game on the road. If they can win the home games, win one away game in the conference, and then a game or two in the tournament, they might make it into the big dance. But they definitely have to win all their home games. I don't think that they can get away with losing something down the road.
You know, Tom, I was watching a couple of the Mizzou games recently, and me and my wife are sitting down. We're watching. It gets into that second half. Mizzou's got a lead. And I told her both times, I'm like, they're going to lose this game. I mean, I just see some undisciplined play off on that court. Their two leading scorers, Mark Mitchell and Tamar Bates, they're both averaging around 13 points a game. I don't think that's going to translate to a strong SEC team. But let's face it, they're 13-3 right now. They're 2-1. Third-year coach Dennis Gates, you know, let's face it, he had an impressive 25-10 season his first year. 8-24, polar opposite second year. Where's this team going to land in the third year? That, I don't know. I mean, who's going to take charge of this team on the floor? Listen, I think the talent's there. I really do. It's just who's going to step up and who's going to take this team to the next level where they need to play.
You know, a couple years ago when they had that good record, they had Kobe Brown, who they could count on at the end of the games. And I agree, they just don't have that person yet. Nobody's really stepped up and said, hey, give me the ball. I want the ball for the last shot or the last minute. So, you know, and even if they don't make the tournament this year, they beat Kansas. So, you know, that's for me.
So, yeah, and I will say that, and you know, this is obviously very important. They look better than they have in years. They made a great decision in bringing those uniforms back.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah, I love them.
Indeed.
I love them.
And closer to where we're coming from, the SLU Billikens have probably one of the more interesting teams they've had in a while.
Okay, yeah, I think first-year head coach Josh Schwartz is you know, he's got this team exactly where he needs them. You know, they're right now, they're 10-6 overall, 3-0 in the conference. Let's face it, winning that Big Ten or that Atlantic 10 is going to be their ticket to the NCAA. Or, I mean, they're going to have to, you know, do exceptionally well, because typically the A-10 gets what, one, maybe two teams into the tournament. So he's got this team exactly where they need to be. They're 3-0, they're playing well. And they have to do exactly what Mizzou does. You know, win their home games, you know, have a great showing in the tournament. They can't have a good showing. They have to have a great showing in the A-10 tournament. Three of their top players, Avila, Swope, and Jemerson, they're all averaging over 17 points a game. Hey, that's a good spot. Those are three go-to players. One guy has a night off. You got two other guys that can score. You got Jemerson, 42% from the three-point land. that's as good as you're going to get.
With college basketball and with the fact we're talking about the tournaments, that gets us to spring, which takes us to baseball. And before our next podcast, we will know who, if anyone, is going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Those results are announced next Tuesday. And there are, believe it or not, 28 candidates on the ballot this year. The top returnees, Billy Wagner, Andrew Jones, Carlos Beltran, and then you take a significant drop. Beltran had 57% last time. Then you drop down to A-Rod at 34, Manny at 34, Utley at 28. Some interesting first-timers, including CeCe Sabathia, Ishiro Suzuki, so some folks there that are very likely to go in on the first time. Jason, you are the only one of the four of us who have actually been to Cooperstown.
Yes.
So
it is an experience that I would say if you have any baseball blood in you, you have to go. It is absolutely well worth it. My wife and I are actually talking about going again. It's that well worth it. So I'll start on this, but before I do that, I'm going to ask you a Hall of Fame quiz, guys. Name me the person whose jersey is retired by three teams. Not Jackie Robinson, obviously, but there is one player. He's in the Hall of Fame. His number is retired by three teams.
Is it a current player or an old timer?
It's a Hall of Famer who's no longer playing. So we can come back to that. So
yeah, I'll think on that.
All right. So, you know, I think one of the things that's interesting, Ron, we were talking before we went on air about, you know, you do have two perfect game pitchers on this ballot. And, you know, has that ever happened before? I don't know. To me, as you were talking about the three top vote getters from last year, if you look at a Billy Wagner and he gets 73.8% last year, and you know, I know he has 422 saves and 231 ERA and 1196 Ks, but if he gets that, I've got a couple that are shoo-ins, I think, to be on the ballot this time. And that is, number one is Suzuki. I mean, 10-time All-Star, AL MVP, rookie MVP, 10-time Gold Glove, 2-time batting champion, stolen base leader, MLB hit leader, 311 lifetime batting average, you know, 3,089 hits. And the other one is Andrew Jones, who you talked about, and he was, I know, below Billy Wagner. But, you know, when you think about him, and I didn't realize this till I was kind of digging into him even a little bit more. Do you realize the Braves signed him when he was 16 years old?
What? How old was he when he played in that first World Series in 96?
Yeah. He wasn't very old. So, yeah. But, you know, again, he's a 5-time All-Star. He was a 9-time Gold Glove, Hank Aaron Award winner, Silver Slugger, you know, 254, 434, 1,200 RBIs. I mean, I think he's there if Wagner's at 73.8, because 73.8 usually tells me you're going to be in the next year. That's just very typical. The other one that stands out to me, and you mentioned it, and it's the initial man, and that's CC. You know, 251, 3,000 Ks, you know, 3.74 ERA, but he's a 6-time All-Star. He's a World Series champion, Cy Young winner, 2-time league wins leader, you know, and he had a great run in 07, 08, and 09. So I don't know if he gets in, but I think he scores very high, and I think we could see him in maybe year two, definitely probably year three.
Is 250 wins the new 300 wins?
I think it is, yes. I think that's a great point, yes.
Keith is shaking his head.
Might be
25. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it might be 225. I don't know if anybody's going to get to 250.
Yeah, we've lowered the bar. And it kind of, you know, you can thank players, agents, and, you know, analytics for lowering the bar. It's tough to watch in real time, actually. And as I think we can probably all consider ourselves baseball purists. I look at this list and I'm like, you know, I see a 3,000 strikeout guy, I can accept that. But if you're not hitting the major milestones, it's just tough for me to think of those guys as a, and unless there's injuries, unless there's, you know, something wonky about the guy's career, it's tough for me to get that guy a vote.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're right, Keith. I think you got to hit some of those milestones because they all, if you look at all of these guys, they're going to have a silver slugger. They're going to have an all-star. They're going to have something like that. But it, you know, and as I would say, I love a Ben Zobrist. I mean, what a great utility guy he was. And he's a two-time, you know, World Series champion back-to-back and an MVP of the World Series and all that. But not a life of, you know, that I would say is Hall of Fame worthy. So, you know, that's kind of my take on it. I'll let some other guys talk. But let's go back to the quiz. Has anybody come up with who is the one? Yes, Ron.
Randy Johnson.
That's who I was thinking.
Incorrect.
Ah.
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan.
Ah, nicely done, Mr. Farrell.
Nolan Ryan. Astros, Rangers, and Angels.
Mm-hmm. Not the Mets.
Not the Mets.
Who are retiring David Wright's number this year, by the way?
Who's on the ballot, Ron?
He is. No, there's a columnist here in the Post-Dispatch who I think I know Keith and Tom and I have read for years. His name's Jeff Gordon. And he does a chat every Friday, which covers a wide range of topics. And someone asked him a Hall of Fame question. And he said, this is completely impractical, but it's almost like you need to start over. He said, because there are so many of the great players of the game that are not in the Hall of Fame right now. And Tom and I were kind of joking around before we went on air again. And we're like, you could put together a really good team of guys that are not in the Hall of Fame with Barry Bonds in left field and Roger Clemens on the mound and Pete Rose and Palmeiro and McGuire. And you could have a solid lineup of players that are not. And then you could look at some of the guys, especially, you know, some of the earlier players and say, okay, they're a Hall of Famer. All right. And it is difficult to compare eras, but yeah, going back, you know, to bring this full circle, it's really going to get difficult when you look at the fact that I don't have the number of guys that threw 200 innings this past year. I want to say it was four. Does that sound right to you guys? Four guys threw over 200 innings?
That does sound right, yes.
It was.
Compared to back in, you know, when Catfish Hunter threw over 30 complete games that one season. 29, I know he threw 29 or 30 complete games in 74. So we're just in a completely – we're reaching the point kind of like where you can't compare NFL wide receiver numbers like now compared to like the 60s yeah. or even the 70s.
Right.
Right. Or even early 2000s at this point. I mean, that's even different. So
it certainly makes it challenging. So, well, we will know the answers. So Jason, what was like your, give us like the one single biggest takeaway from going to Cooperstown?
Absolutely. Very, very easy because this could be the next four shows, Ron, and that would be, is Pete Rose deserving of the Hall of Fame? Now, here's what I will tell you. I had the opportunity to meet Pete Rose, God rest his soul, and met him in person, talked to him, very, very nice guy. But for all of those that say no or he should be in the Hall of Fame, Sherry and I will both tell you he is in the Hall of Fame. Other than in the plaque room, as my wife likes to call it, he is everywhere else. You can watch his videos of when he, you know, hit 44 straight. You can watch his videos when he broke the record. I mean, you can see all of those things, and he's everywhere there because he deserves to be, but he's not in the Hall of Fame. And that was the saddest thing to me. But that's probably my one takeaway. But the plaque room, as she calls it, is amazing and a lot of fun. The other thing I will throw out, Ron, is if those who haven't been from St. Louis to Kansas City, please, please don't make another trip that way without going to the Negro League Hall of Fame. It's worth every second of your time.
I have heard from every single person that has been there that it is absolutely a fantastic experience.
It is an amazing experience. So please don't head that way. Don't drive through Kansas City. Don't go to Kansas City without setting yourself some time to visit that. It's great.
Sounds like a plan. And so with that, we will close with what we will be watching. Keith Farrell, what are you looking forward to, or what are your closing thoughts?
Looking forward to, you know, we hit on this a little bit earlier, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how the college basketball, local college basketball schedule is going to be shaping up. You know, this is the time of the year where those teams jockey up and down their respective conference standings. This weekend, we have SLU at Richmond. It's always a good matchup. We got Illinois at number 12, Michigan State on Sunday. And we got John Calipari bringing his bags of money to, which made me think, you know, it's Arkansas at Mizzou, but kind of makes me think with John Calipari, what does he have to do to get another recruiting violation? Since we're already paying the players, I mean, come on. I mean, just take a guy off a street court and put him in street clothes and put another nameplate on his back. I don't know. But either way, that's what I'll be watching, some college basketball this weekend.
One of my favorite tweets ever from Super 70 Sports was a picture of Calipari sitting next to Patino. And it said, just from looking at this picture, you are now on probation.
Exactly.
So, Tom?
I'm with Keith. I'm looking forward to some college basketball season heating up, but also it's a couple weeks away, but I'm also looking forward to the Four Nations tournament with the NHL players. I think that's going to be pretty exciting. I always loved, you know, when they used to have the USA and Canada and Russia playing the Canada Cup, and just I love that kind of hockey. And I'm really, really excited to see that come up here in a couple of
weeks. And Tom, to echo what you're saying right there, it's the only sport on the planet where these guys have a midseason tournament and they play their hearts out, because there is so much national pride on that ice, on that court, on that field. It's the only sport where national pride is on the line and they actually give a damn about it.
And
I agree.
And much completely. Better than seeing a 12-9 All-Star game.
Yes.
And Jason. Yeah.
The NFL, baby. The NFL. Well, I'm gonna watch the Chiefs matriculate it down the field, and So NFL playoffs this weekend. Can't wait.
I would love for Andy Reid to run 65 toss power trap from about the 3-yard line. I wouldn't put it past him either.
No, I wouldn't.
Jason, do the Chiefs cover? Do they cover that 8?
Yes, I think they cover that 8, Keith. Yes. Yep, I do.
Well, and I'll stick with the NFL for mine, too, because in one of the most ill-advised tweets of 2025, Kevin Demoff, who is one of the most despised men in St. Louis, in fact, KTVI Channel 2 on a lower third identified him as a professional liar. They actually use that on a local third. Had the brilliance on Sunday to tweet the following. Hard to believe today marks 9 years since Rams NFL returned home, which is incorrect, of course, because they began in Cleveland. January 12th has always marked a special date. 9 years since we returned home. 8 years since we hired Sean McVay. 6 years since we beat the Cowboys. The responses to that tweet, if you have not read the responses, as I said in the Sportist chat, do yourself a favor and read the responses to this tweet before many of them are blocked. And I can't read them on this podcast, or I would have to check the explicit box. Let's see. Burn in hell, Kevin. I think I can say that one. But they go on and on and on for pages and pages. Many of them are anatomically impossible, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, Kevin just thought that would be a good idea. And I would say, Keith, you read them. What were they? Probably like 90. Well, I think Kevin and Tom, you both read them. They were like 90% people from St. Louis offering suggestions for Kevin.
It was good for the soul. If you had... if you had any soul when that team left St. Louis, it was good for the soul to read those. It just, I felt better. I mean, who needs a therapist when you could read those tweets?
It's nice to know we're not the only ones out there.
And they just kept going and going and going. And speaking of going, it's time for us to go. And so we will bid farewell to you from the Local House Bistro studio. Thanks again to the good folks at the Local House Bistro. And we thank them, and we thank Jason and First Coast Steel Buildings for bringing this podcast to you. Keith Farrell.
Cheers. See you next week.
Jason, thank you for joining us.
It was wonderful. Anytime, guys.
And Tom.
Great seeing everyone. Let's have a good week and hopefully some good games that we'll be talking about next time.
And we will talk to you next time on the STL Sportist Podcast. Take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.